Oh, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets for the month today. Oh, boy, your doctors on duty, Drs. Michelle Hardacre and Kelly Spence of Central Veterinary Hospital in Albany, New York. Dr. Michelle Hardacre earned her veterinary degree from Auburn University. She's a member of the American Veterinary Medical Association, the American Association of Feline Practitioners, the Columbia Green Humane Society, and the Capital District Veterinary Medical Society. She's had a special interest in veterinary surgery, farm animals, and caring for unfortunate animals. Dr. Kelly Spence earned her veterinary degree from the University of Illinois. She's a member of the New York State Veterinary Medical Society and has a special interest in feline medicine. Doctors, both of you, welcome back to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's nice that you put down all your hard work and came here today. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. These shows tend to be pretty popular, so if you get a busy signal, when you hear somebody hang up, immediately dial the phone at 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It is WAMC Radio on Facebook. You'll see a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop, or you can email us. Easy, right? voxpop@wamc.org. But the number is 1-800-348-2551. So, you know, you two, you're in surgery, and then you stop and you finish and you come right here. That's great.
Yeah, great timing.
Yeah. And everything was fairly successful?
As far as I know.
Yeah, time will tell.
She good. Woke up.
She woke up?
She woke up.
That's a good sign. Good.
That's a first sign.
A satisfied customer.
Yes.
Well, the lines are loaded, so let's go right to the phones. Kerry in Plainfield, Mass., you're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, guest.
Hi.
What I'm calling for today is I have a 9-year-old red bone coonhound, and at present he has 5 lumps on his body, and I'm told that they're most likely fatty tissue issues. Now, 2 years ago, the same dog, he had 1. And it was a good size, probably about the size of a golf ball. And I brought it to the vets, and it was surgically removed. It was fairly expensive. The dog had to wear one of those plastic cones around his head for a couple of weeks, which was a challenge. And I really don't want to go through that again. So I was wondering, with these 5 that he has, and they seem to be like the one that he had 2 years ago, is it something that, are they harmless, would you say? And what causes them? And is there something to prevent that going any further?
Well, I mean, so I guess a little bit of a mixed bag. Lipomas, so the fatty tumors we talk about, they're benign. So they tend not to spread or to metastasize is the word we use to other organs and cause problems in that respect. But they can get bigger. And so I think the main issue we see with those is if they get really big, sometimes they can kind of impede mobility. So like if a dog had one on his arm or something like that. But you probably want to make sure that that's all that you're dealing with. And so there's a cheaper test your veterinarian can probably do to tell you that. We do it's called a fine needle aspirate and cytology. So you just poke a little needle in and get a sample of that material. And usually it's pretty easy to tell if it's fat. You'll get a really classic kind of waxy look on the slide. And, you know, if that's what your vet is getting, then based on, I guess, your financial constraints and the dog's age, a lot of times we have many owners that just kind of watch them and monitor.
Yeah, if they didn't get any bigger, okay, I can live with it. Cosmetically, they don't look so great, you know, but it doesn't seem to bother them at all, you know.
What was the one that was removed previously? Did you have a biopsy done?
Yes, and it was...
Lipoma?
Well, they said there was no issue with it. They just removed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, odds are, you know, your veterinarian can probably say the likelihood that these are more of the same, and it does happen that way, that you get other, you know, developing lumps, and they can change in size with the weight of the animal and time. But if any of them are aspirated, you can have pretty good certainty they're the same, but yeah. They can also have other lumps developed too, so you have no guarantee. But sounds like you're in good hands.
Kerry, thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah.
What causes them?
Who knows?
You guys don't know?
I don't know everything.
We certainly see them more in older patients and sometimes overweight patients. Yeah. They're kind of an
age-related change. But they tend to be just an encased lob of fat. Whether it has anything to do with the breed, nobody knows. But they're, what develops lumps, what breed, and what type of lumps is very hard to predict. And some of them are very aggressive and malignant, just like in people. And who knows why they develop? I don't know.
So in Kerry's case, his dog had one and now has, what, nine?
Five.
And that's common to get a bunch?
It's common
to
get a bunch.
And they're okay.
But you want to make sure that's what they are. So it's also common to get other lumps. So you want to make sure before you ignore it and say, hey, you know, it's fine to just leave this here. You want to make sure. You can test them all. It's cheaper to do. So just take a little sample rather than have it removed and take a biopsy.
Okay. Let's go to Karen in Rexford. Hello, Karen.
Hello. This is perfect timing. This weekend, we're going to be picking up a kitten and bringing it home. It's a six-week-old kitten that's been living in a barn. And I'm just wondering what I can do to make sure we don't also adopt a family of fleas.
Mm.
And we have a 10-year-old house cat that already lives in our home. Is there an issue with protecting her from any diseases before this kitten is old enough to get vaccinated?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Done. Next.
No.
For flea prevention for a six-week-old, it'll be 6 weeks old when you get it?
It'll be almost seven.
Okay. So I guess Revolution would probably be the safest for you, I think, is labeled for 6 weeks and up.
What is Revolution?
Revolution is a flea product for cats. It also, they make it for dogs as well, but it also does, it prevents ear mites and heartworm. And that's something, it's a prescription product, so you have to get it from a veterinarian. But I think off the top of my head, that's probably one of the only topicals that's labeled. The other ones are usually labeled for, I believe, 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's probably one of the safest for small cats.
And the flea bath, we used to give flea baths to pets. Are they just not
my favorite? And especially some of the over-the-counter products, you can't really control the amount that you're dosing as well. So we tend to steer away from those.
And they're not fun to administer.
This is true.
Speaking of that, Karen, I think another issue is how's that 10-year-old cat going to tolerate the new little kitty in the house?
Well, if you have any advice for me
I have none. I'm just a host.
The vets, she's a very gentle soul and very
quite
shy.
But she's still a female. And
a cat.
Yeah.
She's a very gentle-souled cat.
Solo cat, you know, and you bring in something else.
We plan on keeping them separated and introducing them slowly.
That's great. Yeah, slow introduction. If you can mix some of their scents up before, so put a blanket in with the kitten and then move it over into the general pop and let them greet in between a door is probably a good idea. The disease part of your question, you would want to get that kitten tested for feline leukemia. There's also a feline immunodeficiency virus. Those are some viral diseases, especially in a barn cat. And I probably, before you kind of commingle, would have a veterinarian in general check out the cat because there can be a lot of other things that it might, especially from coming in from a barn, could be carrying with it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun, Karen.
Oh, wow. We're in for it.
Yeah. Bring a barn cat in. Oh, good times.
Just as easy as having a human child, basically. So it'll be fine.
That's fun. Okay. Well, good luck, Karen. Let us know how it turned out.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Cats don't always get along. I mean, have you seen many instances in your lives where you bring a cat in and everything's just fine? I don't think I've ever seen that.
They always say you can't pick your cat's friends for them, I guess. My cats tolerate each other, and that's...
But they've been together since...
For a while, and they still just tolerate each other, I think, is...
Yeah, they tend to be solitary creatures. I mean, they like their space, and, you know, we have a lot of clients that have one cat, multiple cats, 10 cats. I don't know how they have them all get along. I mean,
yeah.
I just... It's beyond me.
Lots of resources. Make sure you want to increase your number of litter boxes, increase your number of scratching posts.
And always one extra? Is that the plan?
Yeah, yep. Number of cats plus one.
And then there's that feel-away stuff. Does
yes,
that help
feel-away.
Sort of put them in la-la land?
Yeah, I drink the feel-away Kool-Aid. So
it works for you, too?
It's great.
That's how you get along with Michelle.
Yeah, that's how
now
we work together. We're just all hopped
for
up
me,
on feel-away.
For me, it's alcohol, but for her, it's feel-away.
You know,
No, it does. Feel-away is great, so we recommend that. And that's, I mean, not even just us. The best of the best in feline practice really get behind that product.
So. All right, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's an eventful show already. Pets and Vets, we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook. Cowan's Auctions, accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. Cowans.com for appointments. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/tang. And Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, manny'soliveoil.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Yes, yes indeed. It is a Pets and Vets edition. We're joined today by Dr. Michelle Hardacre and Dr. Kelly Spence. And you at home, 1-800-348-2551. And we'll get right back to the phones. But doctors, here are a couple from email. This is from Carrie. Not sure what the first few words mean, but dig of my heart, 50-pound mutt, very active. Rear legs have developed tremors. Should I do anything? Worry. I guess dig of my heart might be the name of the... It's like a horse racehorse.
Cool.
Dig of my heart, 50-pound mutt, very active, rear legs have developed tremors. Should I do anything? Should I worry? That's from Carrie.
Huh. Yeah, I think you should do something, probably.
Yeah, it's not normal.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Yep.
Could that be a physical thing, or is this just a neurological issue starting to happen?
It's probably physical. I think the most likely thing would be pain. And many large breed dogs are... you know, hips, knees, things that are arthritic, even their backs. And I think that would be the first thing I think about, rather than neurological disease where they may be slow to place their back legs, but the trembling may be a sign of weakness or pain. And that would be my first first rule out.
Yes, do something.
And yes, possibly worry.
Maybe be worried. Okay. I mean, not
there's something,
super worried.
I'm sure there's something medical that can help that animal if you have them... looked at, treated, and...
Doesn't say how old. At a certain age, wouldn't that be sort of something that might just set in? Brain, neurological?
It doesn't necessarily mean, you have to, even if... So we see a ton of orthopedic, osteoarthritic animals as they age. There's things that you can do to help that, so you don't necessarily, your dog doesn't have to live its life painfully.
Yeah.
So step one is, I think usually, especially with pets, they can't say anything to you. So if you're noticing something weird, it's usually good to, one, do something and worry slightly.
Okay, this is one that is rather involved, and I'll try to do it justice, and then we'll get back to the phones at 800-348-2551. This is from Chris in Cornwall on Hudson, and here it goes. Let me unfurl the papyrus. My 13-year-old cat has been on Hill's YD diet for her hyperthyroidism, and in 18 months, her T4 has dropped from 5.7 to 3.3. During her last exam, the vet found blood when he pressed on a bottom premolar. He gave her an antibiotic shot and wants her to return for an extraction. He warned me about the risks and told me he would use ketamine. Is that right? Ketamine,
mm-hmm.
which I've learned should not be used on older cats. He said my alternative would be to swab her tooth with peroxide and bring her in every 3 to 6 months for a checkup and an antibiotic shot if necessary. Could you please give me your opinions on the ketamine and what would you consider my best course of action? That's from Chris in Cornwall on Hudson.
That is a very involved
Tell
question.
Me about it. I'm ready for a nap.
So it sounds like cats being treated for, just in a nutshell, being treated for hyperthyroidism needs attention to its dental disease, and it sounds like he's worried about the anesthetic protocol.
Yeah.
13-year-old cat.
13-year-old cat.
There's probably other medications that the vet can use. I would have to assume ketamine's been around forever, but there are many, many other options with anesthesia.
And
if you have a dead tooth, bad tooth, it's got to come out. If he's worried about the cat, I don't know if it's just on the one diet to try and control the thyroid, which is not really, I'd say, controlled well. If its thyroid is still running a little high,
3.3 now.
Yeah, I think it's still a little fast.
Okay.
But this cat may not tolerate medication, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of other things that probably aren't part of that history. But in an older animal, you want to be sure they're going to wake up from anesthesia. Mm-hmm. So I'd be concerned as well. And swabbing the tooth and waiting for it to rot out
doesn't
essentially
sound like the best option.
Is painful.
Okay.
And, you know, it's probably not the best thing. There are so many, I'd say, other veterinarians that have interest in dental procedures that are more skilled at it, more, I think, of an opportunity for him to maybe be referred to someone so that he's more comfortable and the cat gets perhaps the best care. And that's an option for him, too. There are many veterinarians that specialize in dental procedures.
But anesthesia is a must, right?
Sure.
When you're doing dental work on an animal.
But, I think it's a good opportunity, you know, for him to ask questions about, you know, and we have no idea based from that, but what kind of monitoring do they do under anesthesia? There are certainly many ways to make anesthesia safer. And so monitoring blood pressure and heart rate and, you know, temperature, and you can really tailor, you know, what medications you're using based on the patient's age and other ailments. So, you know, if he's not happy with the answers he's getting, you can...
All right, we'll get back to the phones in just a second, but this next email dovetails with that to some extent. This is from Allie. My 18-month-old cat has very inflamed gums and plaque. Is there anything that can be done to reverse this and maintain healthy gums besides extraction and or professional cleaning?
That's a tricky one, especially in a young cat, because really cleaning can be, I think, key. And so if you can spring at least for kind of the clean and polish at home after that, you can do a fair amount of at-home care to kind of maintain dental health. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about brushing, which really cat-dependent.
Brushing your cat's
teeth? Yeah. But certainly for cats who do not appreciate that sort of thing, there are dental rinses, there's things you can put in the water, there's dental treats. But a lot of cats that have inflamed gums as kittens, they do benefit from having a clean and polish, because that a lot of time it's the plaque that's causing that inflammation. Certainly there are other, if your cat hasn't been screened for certain viral diseases, there's some
multitude of those that are many times the root cause of the gingivitis if it's that young.
Mm.
So whether it's feline Bartonella, leukemia, feline AIDS, and others. So hopefully that's been ruled out first.
Yeah.
So best to at least have it checked out.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Nita in Hudson. Nita, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hey, by the way, I loved the baby elephant walk.
You liked? Glad you caught that.
It's my favorite.
Good.
Anyway, I adopted two cats about 2.5 months ago from Columbia Green Humane Society. And my little female is an angel. She behaves herself. She's wonderful. But the male is, he's got a good heart, but he plays very rough. He's at least half Maine Coon. He's a big goof. And he's been showing mommy that he loves her by drawing her blood lately.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes. Sunday night, I was sitting at the dining room table and I felt the tail close to my toes. So I stroked the tail with my toes. And the next thing I knew, I was screaming because I had a claw in the arch of my foot.
Ouch.
And this is how he plays. Like, you get to pet him twice, and then it's all four paws wrapped around your hand, claws out, and teeth in your knuckles.
Well, thanks for sharing.
And I know Maine Coons are kind of like the male Maine Coons are the big goofballs. Is this something he's going to grow out of? Or, you know, is there some way I can train him out of it?
Yeah, well, a little bit. I think a lot of times, especially with cats that have that, I'll let you pet me once, pet me twice, and then chomp. It can be something where you might have to train yourself a little bit. So he might be giving you
pull away quickly?
Yeah, well, or just so you mentioned you touched his tail and then that kind of set him off. So although you might be maybe interpreting it as play, it sounds like, you know what, maybe he's hit his limit. And you might just need to do a little bit better job picking up on his cues. Mm-hmm. Certainly in really problematic cases, you know, there's other things we can do. So if you're not already, make sure he has access to scratching posts and toys and things like that. But mm-hmm. specifically in cats, when if you're around their hindquarters and they let you get a pet in before they chomp, in cats, it's usually because they're not really picking up what you're putting down. They're not really into that as much as maybe you think they are. So for at least for him, I probably would stay away from his tail and his mm-hmm. hind quarter area when you're petting. And we were talking about things like feel away, and we have NurtureCom collars and all sorts of kind of cat pheromones that can help for those
right.
guys that are maybe anxious.
He's very affectionate. When I come up the stairs from the ground floor, it's like to my apartment, he's right there. He wants pets. He wants scratches. He sleeps with me every night. We've had issues there because sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll kick a foot out of the blankets. And the next thing I know, I'm being clawed.
Ah. This sounds like a good cat that doesn't know his own strength.
Yeah, no, he's a total goof. He used to try to play with my little female, but he'd play too hard, and she'd just back off and hiss at him and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's taken 2 months, but they've, like, finally come to an agreement, and I'm just hoping that he relaxes a little because, you know, I have little nieces and nephews who are, you know, under the age of 5.
Danger.
And I don't want them to go, oh, kitty, and, you know, get mauled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when they're young, they've just got so much energy and whatnot. And I think it's like being a teenager, and it will lessen with time. But I think, you know, some of us have a little shorter fuse than others. And
yeah.
You just have to put him somewhere where he doesn't get overstimulated.
Right.
You
know? Out of curiosity, how big can a half Maine Coon get?
I don't know.
What's the other half?
I don't know. I picked him up at the Humane Society in March. He's half Maine Coon. The other half is, you know, tabby or something. Mm. He's almost 12 pounds now. He's a very long, tall cat.
Yeah.
And he may still be growing. So we do, you know, the average cat's supposed to be 10 pounds, but there are some that are healthy at 15, some that aren't.
Right.
You know, but probably I would say he could be as big as 15 pounds.
Wow.
But
put a saddle on that cat and let the kids ride around.
Oh, he's a footstool.
Oh, wow.
He's getting to be a footstool.
Hey, Nita, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yep. And wear shoes. That's another option.
Yeah. Sleep in your shoes.
That's right. Kathy in Saratoga. Kathy, you're on.
I guess I have an age-old question. We have a new puppy in the house, and, you know, we take it out for walks just every chance we can get. Every time I seem to take it out, it comes in and poops and pees. I just took it for another 45-minute walk earlier today, and as soon as within 5 minutes, it pooped and peed, and same thing happened when I took it in our yard today, and I was out doing things for over an hour, came in, pooped and peed. It's an kind of the ASPCA Aussie Terry Border Collie mix. I know it's high energy,
yes.
But again, I just really don't know at this point what to do. We've had her about a month and a half, maybe a month.
Okay.
And how old is it?
Not really sure. They weren't really sure. It's a puppy. I would say she's got to at least 3, going on 4 months old now.
She's a young puppy.
Yeah.
She's a puppy.
That's good. There's still hope.
Yeah.
Still hope.
All right. it's just a matter of being a puppy.
Yeah.
And staying outside as long as possible. Sometimes, I don't know, it's random what works and whether you take their excrement and put it outside, you have a place designation in the yard.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
We've done the no-no point. I mean, I don't smudge her nose in it, but I still do the shower and then put her outside.
Has she ever gone outside? Will it happen on occasion?
I mean, she has. Yeah, I miraculously, if we're outside long enough.
Great.
But,
I mean, that's, I think, a good starting place. Everything, it's as easy as potty training a human, which I know all about right now, and it's tricky. So I think the main thing is lots of positive reinforcement. So when she goes outside, I mean, act like she cured cancer. Yeah, and I mean, just you're the best.
We've been a little guy, and we always praise her too.
Good.
Yeah, I've never caged a dog, and we've never had a problem. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't know if it's just younger than we thought or just a type of breed.
Shorter, do you try shorter, more frequent trips outside instead of the really long?
Well, we've done that too, but I have to admit, lately it's becoming longer. Nice weather, you've been getting out doing things. So I just try to keep her outside. I figure the longer we keep her outside, she must go. We feed her and then bring her out. But even then, an hour can go by, we'll come in and she'll go in the house.
Yeah,
I mean, I just frequent trips, repetition, making sure you're cleaning the areas that she's going in with a good neutralizing cleaner.
Shorter trips.
Yep, and
repetition.
Are you doing other work with her behavior-wise?
No, I mean, she's really, a very nice dog. I mean, we told the breed was very hyper, and, we do the no thing about getting off the furniture. She's generally good, but she'll have a mind of her own. But, we don't mind that. I mean, she's very, we were told she's very smart, which she is, because we actually had to, lock the garbage doors, and somehow she learned to untie our tie and get into it. That doesn't even bother me as much as saying, I really want to try to figure out how can I potty train her without having to.
I mean, I think even just getting in a general puppy class, just so you have some tools, I think it's hard just to focus on kind of one aspect of behavior. So if you can try to get some commands in general, just so that really.
I tell my husband that. He says, no, we can do this. But
now you tell him that we told you.
That's in the training.
Right. Two experts have told you. Kathy, thanks a lot for the call.
You.
Bye now.
Bye.
Over to Nancy and Ravina. Hello, Nancy.
Hey. Listen, if you get my question and then I'm not there for the answer, my cell phone has been dropping calls, so I will be listening on the radio for your answer. I have a cat. We've had her since we delivered her, actually, because when we have a mother, we deliver all the kittens and kiss them before the mother can see them, and then they bond to us, But anyway, this cat, I don't know what you call him. She's like one of those medicine cats. If I cry, shed a tear, am in pain, even things that my husband doesn't recognize, this cat jumps on my chest, starts licking my neck, and she'll stay there for 2 hours, if necessary, until I feel better. And she never fails. She'll do it out of a dead sleep. It's incredible the way she is with that. And I'm wondering, my problem with her is, though, she eats plastic. And it's not just all plastic. It's not a grocery bag plastic. It's the kind of wrap that you would wrap something to put in the freezer, that kind of plastic.
Saran wrap kind of stuff.
And, I mean, she will eat it and eat it. And what can I do? I'm so afraid of a impaction,
Yeah, all right. Well, that's a great question. We only have about a minute here before break, so let's let the doctors give you an answer, Nancy.
Aluminum foil.
Okay.
That
aluminum foil?
Switch to aluminum foil.
No, but that's a good, we've heard this before.
Yeah.
So cats, what do you do?
I know. There are some cats that just have this fondness for plastic. And I don't know if it's the fumes, the smell, but they just seem to ingest it or pee on it, or they're just attracted to it.
It can't be a good thing.
No, I mean, not if they inhale or if they consume it, because we find a lot of times they need surgery. Sometimes it just out it goes, but there are times that you can't pick everything up, but it is, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that
why.
Was a serious answer. Restrict.
Really? So don't use plastic, basically.
Yeah, restrict access. I would switch to Tupperware.
You're not going to change the cat.
Yeah, I mean, that's about what it is.
Wow. But have you figured out why a cat would?
No. Somebody once told me, I don't know if this is true or not, so this is completely anecdotal, but that they use certain oils in manufacturing plastic that cats are attracted to.
Right. And there's got to be something to it.
I don't know if that's the case.
Sure
I'm tempted to think it might be textural. They tend to like noises and things like that.
Crunchy things. Yeah. All right, let's take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Pets and Vets. If you haven't figured that out, we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from VisionXL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York. Providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionxleyecare.com. SPAC, presenting the 38th Annual Fryhofer's Saratoga Jazz Festival, featuring Erica Badu, Maze, featuring Frankie Beverly, Sheila E., Al Di Meola, Electric Band, Cassandra Wilson, and more, June 27th and 28th, SPAC.org for tickets. Neptune's Harvest, organic fertilizers from nutrient-rich ingredients, including fish, seaweed, and crab shell from the North Atlantic Ocean, available in bulk for farms and retail sizes for home gardening, neptunesharvest.com. Careers in Transition LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume, and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition LLC.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com. And H. House & Son True Value, Woodstock, New York. Since 1932, a local hardware store for summer projects and grills and party supplies for outdoor fun. True value behind every project is a true value. HHoused.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Pets and Vets. Dr. Michelle Hardacre and Dr. Kelly Spence here answering your questions, and interesting questions at that. Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Adams, Mass. Jim.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Glad you have two doctors on today.
Oh, yeah. They're twice as smart as having one.
All right. Oh, yeah. We just, thinking about our own health and nutrition and, cutting down and trying to eliminate some of the carbohydrates from grains in our diet, and did the same for our dogs. 9-year-old and going to be 10-year-old soon, and 6-year-old, going to be 7-year-old soon, two female Shelties. And the brand we use, they do have another types of, a lot of companies have developed formulations that are grain-free for animal foods. And we got a formulation from Dick Van Patten's natural food, dog food line. It's primarily garbanzo beans, some pea flour, and duck meal.
Mm.
And that's the carbohydrate?
That's the type of carbohydrates that are in there, garbanzo beans and pea flour and such.
Yeah.
No grains whatsoever, no rice. We used to use brown rice and lamb meal before, the same brand. We got into the garbanzo bean and duck meal, and they seem to be loving it. And they seem to be needing a lot less of it.
Yep.
They're satisfied more because they haven't got all these high-calorie grains in their diet, I guess, maybe.
Any question related to that particular diet change?
Yeah, I just wonder what the doctor's opinions were on it.
Okay.
Hmm. We had asked the grain-free thing, at least I do, a fair amount. Mm-hmm. And I think if your pet is doing well in it, I don't much, I don't have really a preference either way. Mm-hmm. I usually tell people you want to make sure, certainly, that any food that your pet's on hasn't been on the recall list. Because I think sometimes when you get into some of the smaller formulations, the smaller companies, there's maybe not as much oversight in manufacturing, so sometimes those will get recalled a little bit more.
Who recalls them?
So the FDA, so you can go to their website and they'll keep a list.
Okay.
And then just making sure that it's a balanced diet. And
it's a pretty large brand. It's Dick Van Patten Company is the company name, and Natural Pet Food Line.
Wasn't he on
and
TV?
They use all human-grade quality ingredients anyway.
Huh. Yeah, and you know, there should be any of the foods, there should be an AAFCO feeding statement on it.
Uh-huh.
And so you just want to make sure that the food should be labeled, and it'll tell you whether or not it's based on research that the company has done or whether they borrowed other people's. And so there's, you know, if your pets are doing well on it, grain-free or not, you know, I think it's to me, it doesn't much matter.
Jim, thanks a lot for the
call.
Right.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Dick Van Patten, TV, right?
Yeah. Van Dyke? I thought that was Dick Van Dyke.
No, Dick Van Dyke, but there was Dick Van Patten. Was he on 8 Is Enough or one of those shows?
I'm clearly too young for that. You guys are both much, much older.
Still,
than
I mean, he went from movies and TV to
selling dog food.
That's weird. Chris in Beacon. Chris, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a couple of part questions, so I'll go as quickly as I can. This past weekend, I was up at my sister's in Saratoga, and she's got a cat in her neighborhood that is highly neglected by her neighbor. Currently, the cat has fleas, ear mites, looks like some tapeworm. The cat is just wonderful, so friendly, and I'm actually thinking of adopting the cat. And I just want to get an idea of a couple things. What kind of tests would I need to have done at a vet to kind of determine the overall health of this cat, and then kind of a ballpark idea? I know you can't, you know, pin anything down about it. How much would this might cost for the testing? You know, talking about a couple $100, or are we talking about, like, you know, $1,000 or more, to kind of see if this cat is, you know, healthy enough for me to take into my home? So I currently do have another cat, and my other question was about how it's best to integrate another cat into my home. The cat I have currently is a pretty independent girl who I'm not sure how she would handle another. You know,
do you know if it's a male or a female?
It's a male.
Okay.
And he has been neutered.
Oh, okay.
And where are you located?
I live in Beacon, but my sister's up in Saratoga.
Oh, I was going to say, because we could tell you our prices over there.
Oh, no, you can't. You're not allowed to do
that. Oh, just kidding.
Not on public radio.
Sorry. Okay. No.
But, you know, you're probably right, you know, close enough to the $200 range to have a veterinarian kind of answer all those questions about what physical findings, normal and abnormal, the cat has, and deworming it and testing it for infectious, you know, viruses, and treating for fleas or ear mites or all those things. You know, really are very common and not as expensive as you'd think. And I think it's all, you know, stuff that you can have given to you with one visit and an estimate, so that you know exactly what to take care of. And a lot of flea medication you can do before you even get into the vet. There's a lot of options on over-the-counter stuff.
How about ear mites?
And ear mites, too. But I think we have a lot of better recommendations in terms of medications that we have, and sometimes you have something that'll do both, like Kelly was talking about Revolution or some other
and that's
medications.
A topical?
Yep.
Topical,
yep.
Yep.
And there are, you know, oral flea medications. There are, you know, many options, but I think having the veterinarian look to see if it really is ear mites, because sometimes it is not. It's other things, and you know, certainly, you know, you're not talking about a $1,000 investment at all.
What about the more serious potential diseases that the cat could have?
Well, there are a lot of them. I mean, we don't test for everything, but feline Bartonella is something that is a zoonotic disease, too, that certainly cat scratch fever, fleas, ticks, things like that can transmit various diseases to the cat, just like in people, bloodborne means. Parasites are things that also, internal parasites, tapeworms, don't really get transmitted to people, but there are others that are, you know, contagious. And, you know,
that's what I'm concerned about is, you know, I don't want to be bringing a cat into the home that could possibly infect, you know, the cat I already have.
Yeah. And I mean, we always usually recommend with a new cat, you know, you want to get those minimum fecal sample, feline leukemia FIV testing. That's probably, and you know, vaccination, that's usually, and making sure it's free of fleas, that's kind of minimum. Certainly you can go above that with other testing, but you know, those things I would say you want done before you commingle your two cats.
And then getting them together and making them happy, that's another question entirely.
Yeah, how to best introduce you know, a cat to the one I have currently is like 6 years old, and she's pretty independent. And what are your ideas about you know, introducing another cat into the home?
So gradually, limited at first, so through a solid door to start with, so no under nose to nose. You can switch to a gate, so like a baby gate or something, so they can see each other. You can hedge your bets with things like feel away to kind of try and calm everybody, make everybody a little bit more mellow. But don't just throw them together and leave them. And then again, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, making sure there's adequate resources. So increasing the number of litter box, making sure there's vertical space so the cats can get away from each other if they want to. All of those things should
interesting.
Help.
Interesting. Vertical space?
Vertical space. Cats like vertical space.
Cat's condo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Abraham in Enfield, Connecticut. You're on.
Hello. One of my relatives has a schnauzer as a pet, and once a month he takes the dog in for grooming. The dog gets a haircut. When the dog comes back, it has large clumps of hair covering its eyes. So, I don't know, I have a feeling that that's animal cruelty. And he says that's just the way you groom this breed.
I mean, they do have, like, eyebrows. Like, I think the standard schnauzer groom has kind of a fuzzy, I guess it would depend on what large clump means.
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, did you say scabs?
Or not clumps? Hair.
Oh, okay.
Hair.
Well, it's
I mean, I can't see the eyes in daylight, you know. I don't see the eyes at all. It's just covered with these large clumps of hair that... That they don't cut that hair off when they get the haircut.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a groomer, and I know if you look at Madison Square Garden and the dog shows and, you know, how these animals are coiffed, I can't see it, how that's attractive. Or,
yeah. Well, maybe to other schnauzers.
Yeah. But there are breed-specific cuts, if you put it that way, that I guess are desirable. But,
okay. But it's not
people,
animal cruelty?
No.
I need
people...
a visual to go with this, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what denotes large clumps, but certainly a little bit of a shaggy eyebrow for a schnauzer is kind of...
No, it covers the whole eye, and if you look at the dog in normal daylight, you cannot see its eyes.
Are your eyebrows under control?
Huh? What?
I said, are your eyebrows under control?
Everybody's got a schnauzer cut.
Well,
I guess I would, you know, just make sure that this, especially if this isn't your own dog, that, you know, they're hopefully seeking veterinary care. And if the eyes underneath are healthy and, you know, it might just be breed standard. But
okay. Abraham, thanks a lot for the call. You guys ever see the Best in Show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what a movie. What
great.
A movie. Let's go to Carla in Shutesbury. Carla, you're on.
Hi, my name is Carla, and my dog, who is gray, is named Belle. His personality is very calm, and he's like a loper. And he's a great dog until you put him into a car. He could sit in a car for hours, but when the car moves, he starts this excessive drool that keeps coming out of his mouth. So that he gets totally drenched, and his buddy next to him, Bosco, also gets drenched. We have tried some things. Our vet has given Val Serenia 160 milligrams, 1.5 pills, which does not help. We've tried the Anxiety Coat. We've tried a herbal formula from Mr. Good Pet. Travel Paws has an item with mostly L-tryptophan in it. And I don't know what to do. You know, with him, he's a great dog. We do feed him Infinia dog food, and we have given him digestive enzymes. But prior to riding, he has no food in his stomach, but he still has this incredible anxiety about going in the car. And he does need to see a vet. I mean, he's going for his second booster tomorrow. And what else can I do? He doesn't really have a toy he loves or a favorite, you know, blanket or something. He's two, and I got him when he was a year old. And he's a fabulous dog. And, you know, I'm wondering, would acupuncture help? You know, what are you thinking of that could be another option for the dog?
Tough question.
Yeah, it sounds like you tried all the common things.
And, so, you know, we talk about desensitizing them in terms of, you know, working up to longer and longer trips so that he's, you know, somewhat acclimated. There are times that, you know, medicine, we like to throw medicine at things, I suppose, but even something as simple as Benadryl at an appropriate dose can help with motion sickness and have a little bit of a sedating side effect, and it's safe, along with things like desensitization, like I said, just kind of working up in time to get him used to it. And I don't know what kind of anxiety he has towards other things, you know, and certainly as you get exposed to things and become more comfortable with new environments or people or the car or assortment of things, they may be less and less likely to be that nervous. But you've only had him how long?
Well, I've probably had him for a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
And he was going on very, very small rides. I mean, just going down the driveway and back. And for a while, he would be okay. And I had to stop the process because I did get cancer. And then when I started the process again, he sort of never got back to where he was. And the only time I see any anxiety at all is when the car is moving. I mean, otherwise, he's a love bug. He's like a limp noodle. He's like poodle and lab and golden retriever. He's got a heart of gold. And, you know, so that's kind of it. But I was wondering, he weighs about 80 pounds. How much Benadryl would you give a dog of that weight?
Excellent question.
You can, you could probably give 25 milligrams or 75.
Wow.
You might start low and then just see if it makes him drowsy at all. Mm-hmm. And if it has no effect, then give him 50. Because, you know, human dose is 25 milligram.
Mm-hmm.
And just incrementally see how low a dose might have an effect on him and see. But it will help with motion sickness, and the sedative side effect is not always a bad thing.
Okay, Carla, thanks a lot. Quickly, Russ in Waterford. Russ, you got about a minute to pose your question.
That's great. Anyways, I have a 15-month-old English Shepherd. He's been through all kinds of puppy classes, and he's been through obedience classes. He's a great dog, but lately when I have him on the leash and we're out for a walk and we encounter other dogs, he gets leash aggression, and I've read up on it, and I'm trying to figure out whether it's something, whether I should be exposing him to other dogs while he's on the leash, or just give up and realize that I can't have him around other dogs when he's on the leash, because in the dog park or in puppy play or whatever you want to call it, he was always fine. He just, when he's on the end of that leash, he does not like other dogs.
Really?
You wonder, is he protective?
Well, I don't know if you would call it protective. He comes up, and as soon as he realizes that he's face-to-face with this dog, he just steps back and bares his teeth.
Mm.
He doesn't go after him. He growls. And you can trust me, it's extremely off-putting. Other people look at him like he's Cujo. But really, that's all he does. He doesn't attack him. He doesn't go after him. And when I take him off the leash and there's other dogs in the yard, he's fine.
Huh.
It's just, it's frustrating. I certainly can't take him out, you know, for a walk through Saratoga, because every time I walk through to see another dog, I'm afraid he's going to start growling at him.
It's a big enough dog and a young enough dog where hopefully you could change that behavior, but you might, have you tried contacting a behaviorist instead of just regular training?
Well, he's in a class right now.
Oh, good.
Yes. That, trying to work with, it's more of a, I don't know, like a dog training class, but the woman's aware of it and she's working with him during class to meet other dogs on the leash and stuff.
Okay.
It's just, it's frustrating. In every other regard, he's a great dog.
Hey,
and,
Russ?
And I don't,
we're out of time, man. I'm
sorry.
There's no quick and easy solution to that. Absolutely not.
Just if the training's not working for you, you always a board-certified behaviorist, which is kind of the next step up, especially with aggression.
All right, doctors, thank you so much. Support comes from Emmerich Sales and Service, locally owned and operated since 1968, providing the Capital Region with power equipment like Kubota, Cub Cadet, Arians, and Gravelly, and more. EmmerichSalesandService.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. Wash and Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying. Facebook at 866-WASH-WAG. And Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting the 6th Schenectady Celtic Heritage Day on Saturday, June 6th. Live music, Irish dancing, pipe band, blacksmithing, sheep shearing, food, drink, and more. SchenectadyHistorical.org. Thanks again to our guests. Thank you for calling. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Joe Makowitz answered the calls. Oh, boy, we're out of time.